Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Jones and Keith coming up in half an hour at 10. Be careful, Jones may take photos of you while you appear to be sleeping when you're actually looking on your phone and doing work. So just without permission, by the way. I think that's a crime in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to photograph somebody or to take a screenshot from a broadcast and use
without their permission.
Use it without permission. Could I offer a bit of Odyssey app appreciation quickly? And that, Wiggy, is to Charlie, who we met last night. Charlie works for the Tasha Auto Group. Mm-hmm. Good dude, I think from Rhode Island. We took a picture with him.
Yeah. He said he calls in all the time.
Yes. And so hello and thank you to Charlie, who Wiggy and I spent some time with at the Celtics game last night. Great guy. And mm-hmm. you can always listen to this show on the Odyssey app or on the iHeart app or on Spotify. Or you can ask your Alexa to play 93.7. Multiple ways to listen to this radio show and this radio station.
Speaking of listeners from Rhode Island, also a shout out to Jack and his mom, Kim, who sent me just like a very nice mom-to-be package. Aww. Just very, very sweet. Jack comes to a lot of our events and usually drives alone from Rhode Island to come to them. He's the best.
Oh, so. Very nice. This is Bill from Newton. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, everybody. So I don't want to sound like a hater here, but I feel like I got to, like, calm everyone down on this Drake May thing. Last year, he was You know, some people were, oh, Drake May sucks. Drake May's never going to be any good. And some people were like, oh, he's got a lot of potential. This year, the first three games, you still had some meh, and he's been very good since. But if you're not going to – if you're going to be one of these people who say you can't use the schedule against him, and I agree with that, then you can't also ignore the schedule – over the last five games when calling him a legend. I mean, are we serious here? I mean, we can't say he's a legend after five games.
No one said he's a legend, though, Bill. We said he's had moments.
Yes, you did. Okay, there's no moments that even come close to making him a legend.
What do you mean? Right? He's in the Patriots record book now forever.
Stop. Shime. It was against the Tennessee Titans, who might be the worst team in the league, and that's with their starters.
No, not just that, though, Bill. He's done it in four consecutive games.
He has not put himself in the record books in four consecutive games.
Yes, he has. He joined only Tom Brady to have four consecutive games of over 100 passer rating, 200 yards passing, and 75% completion percentage.
Oh, my God. Now we're going with that one? The completion percentage record is the only thing that really matters with what you were talking about earlier. The 83% or whatever it was, 88%. And that was against a bunch of stiffs. Listen, Drake May is going to be good, but you guys are calling him a freaking legend already?
No one called him a legend.
Big time. You said he was a legend. Nope. Roll the tape.
Nope. Again, we said he's had legendary moments so far.
Yeah.
Legendary moments. He has not had a legendary career. He is not a Hall of Famer. He's not a legend yet. He's not going to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame, but he's had moments.
You have to pump the brakes a little bit.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Nope.
Again, I will wait and see what happens when and if he gets himself in a playoff game. Yeah. Because you can
that Patrick Mahomes Drake May playoff game is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
He looks good. We'll give him that.
I mean, I there's the pressure is ratcheted up. You will play a good football team in that playoff game. So I will withhold judgment on that. And certainly withhold judgment when being compared to the GOAT for a long period.
Yeah, but even he's playing better in his second year than Tom Brady did.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and that's Curtis, a fact. This is so interesting because you love Tom Brady so much.
I don't really talk about him much.
Not at all. For you to say it, it's interesting.
But he is. Like, it's just we've watched such bad football for so long that it's okay to maybe get slightly overexcited about a guy that appears to be doing everything right.
Yeah. Like, and it's no knocking Brady if you say, like, Drake looks better at is performing better in his second year than Brady did. Just like there was no knocking Brady when people are like, oh, Aaron Rodgers has more physical talent. Like, but that don't mean that he's better than Brady, and it doesn't mean Drake May is going to be Tom Brady. He just looks good for his second year as a starter. Through the first, seven games of the season, he looks good. Will that kid keep up? Who the hell knows?
508 texter says the caller nailed it. The whole entire fan base and the media are gassing him up way too much.
Yeah, because he's been awesome. Outside of the Raiders game, he has been fantastic this season. Fantastic. Like, you can say what you want, and people keep referencing the schedule. I don't know. I mean, Carolina is 3-3. They might be better than you thought they were.
So you don't put any of the Steelers' loss on their quarterback?
No, I put some of it, but I mean, it was primarily on the fact that the running backs fumbled three times.
That bad back pile.
Do you think Ramondre is going to be investigated by the FBI?
And we also said this week, if they were to play the Steelers this Sunday, who you would take?
I'd take the Pats 100% of the time.
And that back pile,
without hesitation.
Back pile and throw, that's on him. But I would ask this. Who would you say that you would think is the best quarterback in the league right now that you would take?
Patrick Mahomes.
Who would you take?
I would take Josh Allen.
Okay, Josh Allen. So Josh Allen. You know who Josh Allen has played? Week one, they played the Ravens. I'll give you that. Week two, the Jets. Week three, the Dolphins. Week four, the Saints. Week five, they played the Patriots and lost. And week six, they played the Falcons and lost.
Great point, Wiggs.
So they haven't had a juggernaut of teams that they have played, and I bet you could probably do that with the Kansas City Chiefs if you look at their schedule. I think what Drake May has been able to do against a team that teams that have been in front of him, he's done a good job. And Buffalo's defense, say what you want, they're very good against the pass, and he had a good game against them.
Right now, though, moving forward until the Bills and Pats face off again, you can take the Bills' schedule into account moving forward because they do have a more difficult schedule.
Well, the Bills play at the Panthers, but that's going to be without Bryce Young. We're going to see the Red Rockets, so who the hell knows what we're going to get from him. Then they got the Chiefs at home.
Yep,
that's a tough one.
Then they got the crappy Dolphins at home, and then they're on the road against the Dolphins, and then they got the Bucks at home.
Which is a good game.
So the Bucks and Chiefs game.
Yeah, and then they'll play the Texans, who I think stink, and then the Steelers will be the next toughest game in Pittsburgh before they play
that
the Patriots.
Eagles-Bills game in Week 17 is going to be awesome.
This is Derek from Watertown. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. So I got some proof here to back up that Drake May isn't as good as Shime says. If you go on YouTube and look up the QB school, it's ex-NFL QB, JT O'Sullivan, and he breaks down Drake May's game film. Don't get me wrong. May is really good, but they could have blown out all these teams multiple times. May is he gets out of the pocket way too fast. He doesn't go through the progression. He's still struggling with that. And when they play the Browns, I guarantee you he's going to try and run out of the pocket, and he will go down injured this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So JT O'Sullivan says he's so bad. Then why is are all these other ex professional athletes saying he's so freaking awesome? Other guys that play the quarterback position, breakdown film, like Chase Daniel and Dan Orlovsky, have no problem saying this guy's freaking awesome.
Yeah. I think the only other person is my boy who doesn't have him in the top five in quarterbacks, Cam Newton. I don't think he had Drake May in top five.
Correct.
Or something like that.
He was like, was it Damian Woody that he was talking to? And he was like mocking Damian Woody for having Drake May.
Which is fine. You don't have to have him in your top five. Like he's still playing awesome. And the other thing too is I think to that caller's point, like there are moments where Drake is still not even reaching his ceiling. Like he can, that's the crazy part about this is he can get better. There's things he's missing. He is kind of abandoning reads sometimes and running away and thinking there's pressure when there isn't necessarily pressure. Like, that's the awesome part, is he has been so great for five games in a row, and he can get better.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I just think the ability to throw the ball deep is something that is, you either have it or you don't. And he has been better than Tom Brady in that realm this season.
And I think most people, if you ask them, hey, give me your, you know, top five, top seven, Drake May would be somewhere in that range right now. And so you got to give him
7 weeks into the season.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But that's all we can judge it on.
Well, you can wait until an appropriate amount of time has passed.
So we should just do shows without judgment?
So do we wait 4 years? When do we wait till?
Well, Shime has him like Brady Jr. I mean, it's a
yeah,
little
but it's,
bit
it's
no,
a
I winning
more like Aaron Rodgers.
It's a winning streak right now, though. Like, what are we supposed to do? Yeah. Just sit back Celebrate and say, yeah, he's not that great?
All right, let's get the Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric!
Hey, all due respect, Greg, but you've had heavy eyelids since about 1970. I mean, you look like you've been stoned more than Jim Morrison since the day you were born.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the issue with the photo, the eyelids from the way the television camera had it. It was the wrong angle on the eyelids. I have no idea.
Bill and Newton left a voice note while on hold before coming on. That is next level.
It is. It's excellent.
Jaylen Brown, he likes Atlanta. Perfect. Get rid of him. He got outplayed by a rookie yesterday. Send him to Atlanta and get a bag of balls for him. He's pathetic.
It's going to be interesting for him. I mean, Courtney, this is your alpha dog, and he has to, you know, Derek White can't be the guy that goes, all right, maybe Derek White could be a guy that can carry this team a little bit more than JB.
Derek White is not going to carry the basketball team. I mean,
But if he's performing better in a game than Jaylen Brown.
Which he did last night.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
Yeah.
That is a big issue in the sense because a lot of our expectations are, and I think Curtis's lead was spot on this morning. This is Jaylen Brown's time to show the rest of the NBA that I'm that dude.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like the offense, when it comes to at least the first half, it's disjointed. You got guys who, and I appreciate it, but are trying to do more than the role requires. Like, I love Pete Pritch, but I just feel like he's feeling the pressure on him.
Yep.
And trying to do too much. I
you know who made everybody's job easy and allowed everybody to play within their roles and created opportunities for everybody and made everybody look better? Guy who was in that nice brown yellow suit, sideline swagged out, wears a zero on
Jason
his jersey.
Tatum, yes.
Jason, it's different when you now, and you're Jaylen Brown, and you got to become the guy who has to do that for everybody else.
I just think it's one game. Let's.
No, I know. I'm not saying it isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one game, so I'm not going to pull the plug on him, but I'm just saying his role has to become, and we were at that game, he has to be the point forward. He's got to be getting guys to where they need to be.
So it's opening night, and tradition is that you got a guy who comes out and welcomes the crowd and says, let's go, and what a season.
Yeah.
Were you surprised with who that was and who it wasn't last night?
I was surprised on who that was, you know? I think
Who was it?
It was
Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
That's weird.
That's drinking the Kool-Aid, though. Like, yeah, that, Peyton, this isn't a negative. It's just like Peyton Pritchard was what everybody talked about at the end of last season and all of the offseason.
No.
But he's,
yes,
he's not
was.
The star of the team.
No.
Yes, it was.
No, yeah, it was at the end of last season after Jason Tatum had been injured. It was whether or not Jaylen Brown was going to be able to step up and lead the basketball
and
team.
It was how great Peyton Pritchard is. The amount of fandom that Peyton Pritchard got at the end of last season and throughout the offseason, if you don't see that, like, it's that's not shocking to me at all that they had him talk.
But
not
it's always the best player.
Just telling you, fandom-wise, and I actually think, and Wiggy was talking about it off-air with me, keep an eye on Peyton Pritchard because maybe he's drinking a little bit too much of his own Kool-Aid.
Yeah, now he's a starter. You're no longer the sixth man where it's a little bit easier.
Yep. You don't think that you wouldn't expect Jaylen Brown as the alpha on this team now to be the guy who says, hey, I want to go out there and tell the fans what we're going to do. And
that's what I would have expected. But started.
I thought he had like something that had happened to him. Like he was about to tell us like, hey, I just want to let everybody know me and my wife were having a baby. I was kind of shocked when they brought him out to center court to say he's got a couple words. I didn't know if he wanted to apologize for something he did. Yeah,
no, it was weird.
That move the aliens are making is called the shaken baby.
I mean, they're that same kind of thing, like the yo-yo, what do they call it, a yo-yo? No, the slingshot was certainly a part of that film, so I understand that.
How many Pee Wee Herman reports will we hear about tomorrow morning after a bunch of 60-year-old white guys go to see the Springsteen movie tonight?
It's going to do well, I'm telling you. It's an excellent film.
Hey, morning show. When you had the astrophysicist on this morning, and he was talking about how we're moving 6,000 times slower than our opponent, I thought he was talking about Wiggy at the Combine.
I didn't get invited to the Combine. I was pretty fast. I wasn't pretty fast. I think I was like 4.76 or something like
Not
that.
Not bad.
For 2.55.
Right, that's
well,
good.
Where would you be today?
I mean, I'd probably train. I'd probably be a little bit faster than that.
Really?
Especially with the advancements in sports technology. Yes.
You got to watch your Achilles, stuff like that, though.
But now, I mean, look, it looks like that Tatum might be back sometime in January or February. And so modern medicine is way better.
You got that from Wick that he's going to be back in January or February?
I mean, I'm getting that from Tatum because I think that didn't he say that.
He said that he wants to be back, but I mean, Wick yesterday was not that, didn't leave me much hope.
Well, I'm like, Wick, you might want to jump on social media because Tatum looks good bouncing around, you know, at practices and everything, so.
It's the Greg Hill costume party and shine definitely has a way. Coco is there with her, man. Dressed like Travis and Taylor Swift, Wiggy's costume is an enormous spliff. Shocker. Curtis is dressed like Tom Brady, but with a cue ball head. There's a guy dressed up as a boring nerd. Never mind, that's just Len Laird as himself. Greg announces the guest of honor and shine.
Yo, that is 2 days in a row that whoever's
really
doing them songs,
really
like,
good.
Yo, those need to be on Spotify.
Really good. Is that it?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Okay. Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric!
Hi, noon! Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Celtics lose their opener last night. Choking away. Against the Sixers. I don't think the season is lost.
No, they should be able to bounce back.
But that was a disappointing one.
Yeah, it was. You had the game won.
Especially when Embiid gave Philly nothing. You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it all fell apart late in that game. Jaylen Brown can't even get a touch down the stretch. So we'll circle back to that with all your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Stay tuned. 45 minutes from now, 12:45. Most Thursdays, we get you a Key for Madness. We have one coming your way
later on this hour, so go nowhere. But every Thursday at high noon, Keith.
That's right.
We like to go on the clock.
A lot of pressure.
Sometimes.
A lot of pressure. We do this live, by the way.
Oh,
people
live.
Might think we tape these. These are live.
You hear that little clock ticking down.
Oh, yeah.
That gets in your head sometimes.
Oh, I start to sweat a little bit.
That's why we only give the listeners 30 seconds if they want to go on the clock.
Yeah, you could try your best.
It's only half the pressure.
Correct. Still pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Not as much.
Who among us can last for 60 seconds?
We'll I'm see. Constantly on a 30-second clock. But yeah.
But anyway, sometimes we have like an off-season plan.
Yep.
Trade deadline plan, maybe
game preview.
Yeah, maybe a preview for that weekend's
yes.
game.
Yeah, yeah.
But every once and then, when we go on the clock, Keith, we like to embrace debate.
Yeah, we do it versus each other.
But this one is very much versus each other.
Yeah.
So we are going to debate why Drake May is the MVP through 7 weeks, why he is not the MVP through 7 weeks.
Seven!
Pick a side, embrace debate.
Okay.
So I will start here, Keith. Nick, if you want to put me on the clock. I'm going to tell you why Drake May is the MVP of the league through 7 weeks in just 60 seconds. He's already made the leap, Keith. Leads the NFL in completion percentage over 75%. Second in quarterback rating, top 10 in both yards and touchdowns. So by any measure, he qualifies via stats. He's also a dual threat quarterback. 200 yards this year, two scores on the ground. I think that'll help his case. Plus, he's taking care of the football. Only two interceptions. He's cleaned that up from a year ago, though he's also lost two fumbles. The Patriots are good this year. Usually this is a team award, at least some team success. You need to be good on the field. The Pats are 5-2. They're the number two seed in the AFC. I think that's going to help his cause. We also have recent history. Year two quarterbacks winning the MVP. Patrick Mahomes broke out year two, won the MVP in 2018. Lamar Jackson did the same. Year two breakout 2019. I think there's precedent here. I'm telling you, it's a buying opportunity. Drake May plus 700 FanDuel, plus 800 DraftKings. Buy in now. Because he's the MVP so far, and he may just win it at the end of the year.
Whew.
How about that?
Wow.
Okay.
Well, you convinced me.
Did I?
I don't even need to go, Nick.
Okay.
Wrong!
You're laying down your sword?
No, I'm picking up my sword.
Oh.
All right, here we go. All right, Drake May is not the MVP. He's having a great season so far through seven games. He has made the leap, like you said, Jones. He should be a contender for MVP, but he's not. The MVP. The MVP really should be a guy who won't win it, and that's Jonathan Taylor. The Indianapolis Colts came in with a 7.5 over-under for their win total. They have the best record in the league at 6-1. He has over 100 more rushing yards than the next highest running back. He has far and away the most rushing touchdowns, and is the main reason why that team is leading their division and the NFL. But if you want to talk about quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, you can't ignore. I hate to say it, but it's true. More yards passing, more touchdown passes than Drake May. He has more rushing yards than Drake May. He has more rushing touchdowns than Drake May. And he's played six games without his best wide receiver. Also, last year, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson tied for the best QBR. Not quarterback rating, but adjusted QBR. Right now, that's a stat where Drake May ranks fourth behind Patrick Mahomes third, Daniel Jones two, and Dak Prescott one.
Woo!
So Drake May, good season, not the MVP.
All right, ipso facto, Keith hates Drake May. That's
yep.
good to know.
Can't stand him.
So you guys,
he's awesome. He'd be a top five. They do it differently now. They used to only vote for one guy.
Yeah.
Now is it three or five? There's definitely more players that get votes.
You know what? I was looking at MVP votes last night. It might be three.
Okay, so if you go three on the ballot, I think. Again, my ballot, I would have Jonathan Taylor on it. But their, like when you project it out, they never will. They'll have three straight quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, your ballot, submit your ballot right now. Three spots. You would go Taylor Mahomes, May?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taylor Mahomes, May.
Last year, only two players got votes. No, I'm sorry.
No,
only two
no.
got first place votes. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
A lot.
A lot of players. Yeah,
and 11, there's a lot of quarterbacks.
11 different players got votes, so maybe it is five.
It might be up to five.
So I think to me it's between Mahomes and May right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, because Baker Mayfield had a bad game. Your guy Matthew Stafford just had a monster game. So I feel like Stafford's moving up.
And May beat Josh Allen, which, you know,
yeah,
isn't the end all
out.
But like through 7 weeks,
yeah.
I don't think Allen's been crazy good and May beat him. So like through 7 weeks with the data we have, the best argument for Mahomes, and I didn't really even think about going outside a quarterback, Taylor's a great one. The best argument for Mahomes is that he's done
more with less than Drake May, which is crazy to think about.
In a weird way. No, I didn't even mention this in my little 60-second spiel.
Okay, well, it's not allowed then. If it wasn't in this the 60 seconds,
no,
it's
don't
not
count
allowed.
This. Yeah, the jury, don't listen to this. Is,
yeah, strike this from the record. Strike it from the record.
Okay, approach the bench.
Yeah.
He's throwing literally to Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster, so, and we know how bad that can be. And so he's winning games that way. Now, Drake May has more wins. The Patriots have more wins than Patrick Mahomes, right? It's 5-4.
Is Mahomes still leading them in rushing? He is, right?
Oh, good question.
Did that change? I think he still leads the Chiefs in rushing.
Oh, that's another good stat. I was surprised to see that he has more rushing touchdowns and yards than Drake May. Drake May is just coming off a big rushing game.
Pacheco passed him last week, but entering play last week, he was their leading rusher through 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's on pace for probably like 600 rushing yards or something, isn't he? Like, he's scooting a whole lot more.
Well, it's going to come down now because he is getting receivers back.
No, no, he is.
100%, and I think they're fixing their running game a little. Pacheco was good last. They played the Raiders, but Pacheco was good last week.
I don't know if you guys saw the stat. They had 31 first downs, and the Raiders had like 30 yards in the first half.
Oh, that sounds
so
right.
They ran, like, Breshad Smith had 15 carries in the second half.
Yeah. He also has a big head-to-head win over the Detroit Lions, which, if you're looking at like a quality opponent, and he played almost a perfect game in that one. I think it was the game Lamar got hurt, but Lamar started that game and played when they went head-to-head with Baltimore, and he just, I mean, Baltimore's defense is trash, but he carved him up.
Look,
Drake May's got the Buffalo game. Like, that's definitely a signature game.
Mahomes, the last couple of years, it was fashionable to say that offense stinks and he's overrated and he's getting by on reputation.
Yeah.
And by the way, all the Tom Brady people out there, he's 30 now. All the Tom Brady people who are like, well, you're going to need a second chapter and you're going to need to recommit. And will Mahomes recommit? He looks as good as he's ever looked.
Well,
in
and
all
the
honesty.
Scary thing is, as like people that want to protect like the Patriots dynasty and keep the Chiefs away from it, the way the AFC is right now, you're like, ugh, even if it's like an 85% version of the Kansas City Chiefs, that might be good enough to get back to another Super Bowl.
So, not who's going to win it at the end of the year. Through 7 weeks, who has been the MVP? I say it's Drake May. Keith says it is not Drake May. So who's right, who's wrong? And if you want to go on the clock and make your case.
Sure can.
For or against Drake May.
That's right.
617-779-7937. As Keith said, there's a lot of pressure for 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to give you 30 seconds to make your case on the phones if you would like. Meanwhile, circling back to the Celtics last night, like I said, I don't think the season is lost, but I'm
frustrating, though.
I'm disappointed in how it ended, meaning Jaylen Brown didn't get a touch, meaning Peyton Pritchard got multiple shots at the end of the game, which is he went from six man to now he's the guy at the end of the game. That's annoying.
Yeah.
You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. You couldn't finish that out, and I know it's a different league. You'll hear Mazzulla say this. Terp has come in and said this before. We're like, a 20-point lead isn't as safe in today's NBA as it used to be. Fine.
Yeah, I get it. It goes quick. 3-point shot, all that.
13-point fourth-quarter lead at home, opener against Philly. And then, let me add, Joel Embiid looked horrible last night.
He was a non-factor.
As a texter sent in earlier, and I've referenced it a whole bunch, the next person the FBI should look into after they deal with everything with Billups and Rozier and Damon Jones, among others, the next person they should look into is Embiid, hauling his corpse of a body and down the court last night.
Yeah.
So Embiid gave them nothing. You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you lose that game. I mean, that's just a bad way to choke away a game on opening night.
Yeah, it was devastating because not only did you have the big lead in the fourth quarter, you allowed 42 fourth-quarter points, and they needed every single one of them, the Sixers. That's with some missed free throws down the end. They put up 42 on you
one quarter. With Edgecombe missing those last two free throws.
Yeah,
right.
And they still had that many points. I look back at a couple of possessions prior to the Peyton Pritchard missed shots. Xavier Tillman has a chance to tie the game a foot away from the basket and, like, airballs it. So that was devastating, and that extended the game. But they played the foul game, and they hit a couple shots. Next thing you know, they have an opportunity, and they call a timeout, which Joe Mazzulla didn't even want the timeout, but they call a timeout.
Which is so dumb.
They try to draw something up. Apparently, it was supposed to go to Jaylen Brown, but it never did. So maybe they should have drawn up something better. Maybe Brown should have been more aggressive or whatever. Peyton Pritchard has a bad attempt, but they bailed out. And, you know, give him, I guess, a little bit of credit for going early enough where you are allowed to have another play. You see that all the time in the NBA. Sometimes they try to make it too cute, try to have like the walk-off buzzer beater, and you're like, hey, you actually can maybe get another shot at it. So anyway, they get one more crack at it, and Pritchard gets another decent look, actually a decent look, and misses that one. And you're like, man, you had this game won. Joel Embiid did nothing. Home opener, all that stuff. Start the season off on the right foot, and you lose. So it's frustrating. And we'll see, you know, where they go from here. They got a game with the Knicks coming up on tomorrow?
Yep, on Prime.
So, yeah, it is on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
That's still annoying to me. Prime and Peacock, right? Have like a bunch of games.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I heard Wick talking about that yesterday. Wick sounded like very...
Give me the TNT games.
He sounded very not on his details about where all these games were going to air. But yes, tomorrow night is on Prime with the Celtics. And look, I thought they'd be a top six seed in the East. I still think they should be a top six seed in the East, or will be. If they make the play-in game, meaning they're 7-10, there's some debate as to how successful the year is. Top six, I think, is a good year for them. Top four would be great. Somewhere in the middle would be the play-in game. They have no reason to miss the playoffs entirely. And I don't care if they lost last night. They have enough talent to do that. Although they didn't look great last night defensively, and you were on this, Keith, before. I was like, I'd start Simons and I'd start all your best players.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't start Simons and Pritchard. Not only can you not start them, those guys can't overlap a ton. Because
I was going to say, but that's
Swiss cheese out there.
But they should be, you know, as the season plays out, your third and fourth leading scorers. And so, like, if those guys can't play together, like, that's what's tricky about it. Like, I don't want to trade Simons, but I'm also not trying to trade Pritchard. But you could see when they brought him in, you're like, all right, he's a great scorer, but there was always those rumors that they might deal him. And part of a lot of it was the contract, but another thing is just, like, how do they fit on the floor? Like, you couldn't have Isaiah Thomas and Kemba Walker on the same team. You couldn't even have Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker on the same team. Like, good teams are going to take advantage of it, especially good teams that have scoring guards.
The Sixers are going to take advantage of it.
Sixers aren't even a good team.
Never mind good teams.
But they have scoring guards. Oh. And boy, do they. They scored 74 points just from their backcourt.
Crazy.
So that was pretty bad, because we went in being like, the big men are pretty bad. They're going to get eaten alive by Embiid. Well, Embiid might not be capable of doing that. And Kata actually had a good game. Fouled out, but he had a pretty good game. It's just they're going to go so small. And they're like, it's positionless basketball. Yeah, positionless when you have like Tatum and Brown out there, like Porzingis. It's like, okay, whatever. You still have size.
Interchangeable wings, guys that can move, guys with some size.
But like LeBron and Wade, and like when they were starting to do that then, you're like, they're still 6'7". You know, like now it's like, well, we got 6'2", we got 6'4", we got another 6'4". Like, I don't know. Against certain teams, it's not just the rebounding. I know Mazzulla was preaching rebounding during the preseason. And you're going to give up some boards.
And they won the rebounding battle last night. Yeah. I think it was only 10 offensive rebounds for Philly.
So they didn't get eaten alive on that by any stretch. I think they'll take that, but it's also just the mismatch that you have and guys that can't really defend, certainly one-on-one, and then how good are they as help defenders?
Well, and exactly. So they have a bunch of guys who can't move on defense. None of their bigs, I feel like, move very well. Hauser can't move. I know people the last couple of years were like, Hauser's actually not that bad of a defender. Not good.
No.
Never mind the small guards that they have. My issue would be, like, I think Pritchard is just tiny. I used to say this about Isaiah and even Kemba. Like, I think Isaiah was small, so he got picked on. And same thing with Pritchard. Simons just had brain farts last night.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's not about his size. Like, he has the frame to do it. And he left a shooter all alone. Or when he first got into the game on the right wing, left him. And even Scal was like, oh, no. And Scal reacted to it again. Later on, I think it was still that first stint in the first quarter when he first got out there. Late in the first quarter, or late in the shot clock anyway, he fouled somebody with like 2 or 3 seconds left on the shot clock behind the backboard. Like, shooting up a prayer behind the back. It's like, what are you doing? So
he's going to have to.
With him, it's not his frame or anything like that. He had some horrible lapses last night defensively. When he first got in there, I felt like he settled in a bit, but him and Pritchard is going to be real tough when either of them are on the court, never mind both.
Yeah, I think with Simons, who I do like, and he's a great offensive player, he's going to just have to get used to playing games that matter. You know, so like when he first came into the league, he didn't play a lot, and those were like the better Blazer teams. And by better, I mean make the playoffs and lose in the first round. Right. And then when he took on more of a role, like when Lillard was gone and stuff, and he was more of a scoring guy, those weren't even playoff teams. So it's a lot different, and you see it in the NBA when there are a lot of guys, like, somebody scoring 20 points on every team. Just every team scores 110, so someone scoring 20, and if you give up a play defensively, you're like, I don't care, I'll get it back the next time. It's going to be different here. Like, they care more about the current Celtics than they do the current play. Not a shot at the fan base there, but just that's a rebuilding team. It's not a good team.
I don't think it's a shot. Yeah, I think it's
so.
Just
it's
reality.
Like, all right. So right now, yeah, like, you're going to be under the magnifying glass more here than you would be there.
100%. So there's a lot to discuss last night. You were just getting into this, Keith, but I blame Mazzulla the most for not getting Jaylen Brown a touch on either of those last two possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I blame him the most. You're the coach. This is what you do. I heard Curtis talking about this morning. Like, this is what you get paid for, to scheme up plays at the end of games.
Yeah.
out of timeouts, baseline plays, sideline plays with 8 seconds. It's what you're paid for. You're not paid to play pickup basketball against the media and go press them and go have fun at the Auerbach Center and run all over them and embarrass them. You're paid to drop plays at the end of games. So I have Missoula top of my list, but I don't think Jaylen's blameless in a spot like that.
No.
Like, there's a reason Tatum always got the ball because it was known that he wanted the ball. He made it known. Or, and I'd have to go back and really watch Jaylen on these plays.
Yeah.
But Tatum made sure he's going hard to the basketball to get it and making sure he's not just floating around there at the end of the game. So, yeah, I don't think Jaylen's blameless on that. I blame the coach the most. Draw it up. And if the play is drawn up for him and it doesn't work and you had to get the first one to Pritchard, fine, I get that. You had two cracks at it, and the Sixers, who are not known as a good defensive team, put the clamps on Jaylen twice and shut him down on two different plays you schemed up for him.
Yeah.
That's on you, but Jaylen's not blameless. You got to want the basketball, and you got to come get the basketball.
Yeah, you can't get shut out there. You got to find a way to get it, and maybe Missoula, though. I'm with you. Missoula will go first on my list, because even though he didn't want the timeout, it's almost like he was looking for like a transition bucket to win the game, and if they got that and Jaylen Brown didn't touch it, then, you know, whatever. You look at that, you're like, hey, maybe you could have done it differently. Maybe you could have called timeout, but whatever. You do get the timeout. All right, so in that little huddle, make sure Jaylen Brown gets the ball, and he didn't. And I guess after the game, there was some talk that they were trying to get him the ball, but they couldn't. Peyton Pritchard also had a comment that he's like, oh, I should have hit, what do you say, I should have hit Sam or Simons. It's like, what about Jaylen Brown? What about Jaylen Brown? Maybe he gets the ball. And even if he's not the one that shoots it, say he gets double or triple teamed. Well, we've seen in certain, and then he finds a wide open guy.
This is why
so
I haven't said shot. This yeah, is why yeah, I say yeah. He just gets the ball. Touch, right. Especially on that 8 second one. Like, if he gets the inbounds with 1 second left, the ball is
going to better shoot it, yeah.
But 8 seconds left, or whatever it was, eight and change, you get the basketball, maybe a double team does come to you. Maybe it is a triple team. So find the open shooter. That would have been fine. But he needs a touch to draw the defense or get an open look. And the fact that they were both for Pritchard, who was coming off your bench a year ago, he's a bench player. And that's what he's been on a championship caliber team.
You,
as of yesterday, still wanted him to come off the bench.
I do.
Now you're running up game-winning plays for him. Multiple game-winning plays for him. Like, I can't get on board
with
that.
Well, it's funny. Last year when we talked about, remember a couple of, like, the Jason Tatum late-game misses? And even with Tatum on the team, we're like, maybe Brown should get a look.
Yes.
And now Tatum's not there, although he was there.
Oh, he's there.
He was on the sideline.
He looked like the guy in Curious George without the hat. Man with the yellow hat.
Man with the yellow hat. Yeah, did a little bit like him. But, no, I mean, I don't think there's any excuse. And that's something to watch in the first month here of the season. There'll be another situation like that, I'm sure, where they're down. You know, maybe it's a shot clock and they're down a point, two, three. Does Jaylen Brown get shut out of that possession, too? I don't think so, but, we'll see.
617-779-7937. Frustrating one for the Celtics last night. They choke it away. How much of that's on Missoula? Him not wanting a timeout there was embarrassing. We should get back into that. And I don't believe this, Keith. I think Missoula's a pretty good coach. I think that's going to prove out over the course of the year. He's not the best coach in the league, but I think he's a pretty good coach. I think the guys are going to play hard for him, and I think if they're a top six seed, that will, you know, sort of validate Missoula as a coach in the NBA. But there's a lot of people who believe without Tatum this year and without Holiday, Porzingis, Horford, among others, without the high-end championship-caliber talent, he's about to get exposed. So let's get into that with all your thoughts.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag.
Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Ted Johnson, and we go right to the guest line where our buddy Tom E. Curran joins us. Tom Curran on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. By your New England Chevy dealers, together let's drive. By Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. And Tom E. Curran is powered by Verizon. Tom, how are we doing this week?
I am great, Andrew. How are you today?
I am great. And I want to start with, I don't know, I feel like all these interviews start with Drake May these days here in New England.
I know.
And something interesting popped up yesterday. I believe Karen Garigian asked him if it was sort of against his instincts to slide. And Drake May kind of acknowledged it is. And I want to use that as a jumping off point to the next level. Do you think it's also against his instincts to throw the ball away? Because I was trying to remember the last time he had a throwaway. And I guess, is that something that's he's going to have to get rid of to continue his ascension as a quarterback? At some point, is the safety instinct or the safe play instinct going to have to become part of his game?
Only until he gets burned. I mean, that's basically what ends up happening. The last throwaway that I can remember that sticks out because it was such a ridiculous idea. He took the ball from right hand to left hand and threw it out of bounds.
Yep. Right. Yep.
And I'm like, and that was right after his turnover play game. And I'm like, what is he doing? I'm like, you can't be flipping the ball around, changing hands. But obviously that fades into obscurity as he continues to play well. But I do think, Tom Brady and his level of expectation over the course of time, a guy would be mildly off his route and Brady would just whip it into the stands
right,
because he was so disgusted. So I imagine at some point May will be of a mind to say, you know what, this play isn't going to work. I'm just getting rid of it. But I don't mind the youthful exuberance. I don't. I really don't. And I'm not worried about him getting hurt. He's going to. They all do. I would prefer he not get hurt the kind of play that he made last week where he's trying to stiff arm somebody, kind of fans on it and gets rolled. But he's going to get hurt at some point.
Yeah, TC, we were kind of hard up for good news last year. So I thought that going from the right hand to the left hand and going out of bounds was one of the coolest plays he had last year. But that's me. But, so the running game finally looked like it had a heartbeat in this last game, particularly Ramondre Stevenson, 18 carries for 88 yards, averaging almost 5 per. What did you see in the running game that maybe was the difference in this? And do you see this maybe being the norm now?
I saw a team that they were going against that was averaging 4.5 yards per carry against, and then Jeffrey Simmons going out. However, I think the push was good, and I think that largely Stevenson's speed hitting the holes was better. I still thought there were a couple of carries where I thought that he was a little tentative, more tentative than when we've seen him at his very, very best. But I think the push was there, the holes were there, and he was much more decisive, which is something that we talked about probably for 2 or 3 weeks, the decisiveness and whether or not he was running with his first goal being, okay, I just want to get to the ground with the ball in my hand. Forget about making yards. I'll just dumb into the yards that are there. But I thought he also, if you looked at a number of the plays on which you could really see well, the ball was high and tucked up near his collarbone as opposed to down by his ribs. So that seems to have taken root.
Tom, side question. Do you ever play cards with an X-ray table?
I'm not a big card player. So I'm going to have to say no.
Okay. And I'm not even sure where that comes from.
Don't worry, it's the life we lead, Tom. You're one of us now.
It's the big NBA scandal from this morning with the FBI and everything. As on the Patriots front, Tom E., so now there's a story. Like, we've heard a lot of different stories and sources about the Patriots will be interested in trading for this, making a move on that. But it really does seem like there's momentum building towards the Patriots pursuing help on the defensive side of the ball. Are we talking cornerback depth? Are we talking another pass rusher? Are we talking a big boy on the line? What do you think?
I think linebacker and safety would probably be places that they would look. Certainly, I mean, Kyle Duggar was okay last week, more productive, better than his first week when he had to stand in and you know, let up a long score on the first play of the game against New Orleans, or a long completion to Olave. But I think that they want more speed on the back end, and I don't think he can ever have enough corner depth, and that's just a hackneyed expression that anyone can lean on. But my guess is they cast a wide net. You don't know who's available until really that week. So to me, what will the Patriots have to give up? If it's nominal, go get them. If it's, you know, fifth or sixth round pick for a decent player, that should be doable. I would be surprised, given their momentum right now and the fact that it is still a building team, it's not a finished product, I would be surprised if they didn't add someone. But I mean, I would also be able to make the case, I think, that they would want to add on the offensive side of the ball, because their depth at tight end, the depth really at wide receiver, if any of those guys goes down, and again, it's 100%, guys are going to get hurt at every position. So if Mac Hollins, someone who we generally wouldn't have thought of in August, indispensable, went down, there's a valuable blocker, a very good third down target, a guy who can, you know, make catches in the red zone and has it throughout his career. Where do you go? So to me, and I don't think Jacoby Myers is a horrible idea. Mm-mm. And I know that, I mean, he wants out. There is the notion that, as Mike said the other day on the station, I don't want to jerk the wheel at running back. Would that be jerking the wheel in the wide receiver room and with Drake May? To me, there would be a lot of sense made by trading for Jacoby Myers, picking up the rest of his $10 million salary, and then seeing what the disposition is of Diggs and Jacoby Myers next year as they're entering free agency.
Tom,
actually, Diggs will not be a free agent, excuse me, right?
No.
He's on a 3-year deal, so yes. Excuse me.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We excuse you here on WEEI Afternoons. Who is more in jeopardy of being exposed this week against this Browns defense? Do you think it's more likely on Monday, if things go sideways, we're saying, oh, wow, reality check for Drake May, or, oh, wow, reality check for Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and those young offensive linemen?
I think if it does come to pass, it might be along the offensive line. And look, Jim Schwartz is such an experienced defensive coordinator. He's coached against Mike. He's coached with Mike. They know each other. There are going to be things that Tennessee says, you know what? Okay, he's a really good player, but he's still 23 and he's made about 17 NFL starts. We're going to try and really ramp things up, make it difficult for Drake May. If that means bringing six, if that means bringing seven, if that means disguising as much as they can, because Cleveland is not walking into the game, I think, saying to themselves, we ought to be able to put up 25 on these guys. I mean, honestly, 17 would seem like a reasonable target. Not saying that they're targeting that, but 17 would be a reasonable target amount, I would think, for Cleveland to walk in. I said Tennessee. For Cleveland to walk in trying to hit.
Hey, Tom, I'm pretty much at the halfway point here. I feel like just a quick little state of the union on the Patriots draft class, you know, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams, you know, Craig Woodson, they all played a part in this last game. Craig Woodson got beat for a deep one. Kyle Williams, you know, look, he doesn't even qualify for rookie receivers because he doesn't get enough snaps. Travion Henderson, only two carries. Just what are your thoughts? I don't know if you want to give him a grade or just your thoughts on the rookie class so far and how it's performing.
I think between Borogalis and Campbell, you got two guys you can trot out there. Woodson, I think overall, given the number of snaps he's played as a rookie fourth round pick, you can't kick. You really can't. Yeah, there's going to be plays that he allows over the course of time, whether, you know, it's Eugene Wilson, James Sanders, you know, that's that ilk of player that you get in the second, third, fourth round. I think Sanders was a third round pick, just to roll it back. That's pretty good if a guy can get on the field as a rookie
and be relied upon. Kyle Williams, we had this conversation to kind of lump Kyle Williams and Travion Henderson in into the same group. And Ted, I'm sure that you feel the same way. If you were in that locker room looking at one of your fellow linebackers, it's only seven games in, especially on offense. There's only so many footballs to go around. They had 18 carries for 88 yards from their, you know, rehabilitating running back. So why go away from him? The quarterback was 21 for 23. So why take the ball out of his hands? To me, there just hasn't been opportunity. I believe exactly what Vrabel and McDaniels are saying. We're going to need Travion Henderson, just like they're going to need at some point Kyle Williams. I think Williams is a little bit boxed out because when they drafted him, they didn't know Diggs was going to be this good. And they probably didn't understand how good Booty was either. So those two factors are weighing into the usage of Kyle Williams. But every time I've encountered him, he has a great attitude. Mm-hmm. Very likable kid, very personable, gets along with his teammates. Far cry from what we were experiencing a little bit with Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. So I wouldn't sweat on either of those personally.
Feels like he's close for sure. Tom, we've played this game with all of our football guests this week, Brian Hoyer, Adam Schefter, et cetera. We'd like to add you to the prestigious company. Could you name your top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Are we talking right now?
Yeah, right now. No, right now.
Okay. So those two will still be, if I had to start a game on Sunday. And if we're talking right now, I'm not starting Lamar Jackson. He's hurt. I would probably start Baker Mayfield and Jared. Yeah, I would start. Yeah,
I'm not familiar. Who's Jared? Yeah,
I'm stuck between the Mayfield, Goff, May, Jordan Love, Jambalaya.
Just say May. Don't be a hater. Just say May.
Don't be a hater. I'll say May,
yeah,
because it is how you're playing now, and he's got 12 touchdowns and two picks, and he looks like Kurt friggin' Warner.
Yeah.
So I'll go with him.
Okay, we love it. Before we let you go, you got a prediction for – what? Oh, is that only four?
I just want
to – No, I'm ready to go.
Go ahead.
Ted's got something very important. Forget your fifth. Ted, what's up?
Real quick. Tom, does Belichick get in the Hall of Fame this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to put my money on the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would
think that he will.
Okay, well, what's the most likely outcome on Sunday?
1917, Patriots.
Ooh, a tight one, but a win is a win, and you survive in advance.
Yeah,
I like it, Tom
and
Curran.
It was 17-12, thanks to four Andy Borgalis field goals.
Oh, nice.
Before the late May to Austin Hooper touchdown.
Wow, Austin Hooper in the end zone again. Very detailed. Love it. Also, just wanted to let you know I voted. I went with the Buffalo Bills game was Drake May's best game. I know you got slants poll tonight that I assume you'll be answering on the show what you think his best game was.
I will offer my input, and I will also read off several comments from loyal viewers and listeners, and we appreciate always the people who would join in on the Quick Slants poll, and we appreciate everybody listening to the Patriots Talk podcast.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully you're right about the weekend. We'll see you.
Very good. Have a good weekend.
See you, Tom. You too.
Thanks, Tom.
It's Tom E. Curran. I should have known when Ted Johnson was like, I got a question. I got to get in. The words Bill and Belichick were going to be in that question somewhere.
In the news cycle.
We'll get to that at some point, Ted. We'll talk about Bill Belichick. He's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
When?
I believe if the Hall of Fame wants to exist, he should be in this year. But if they want to embarrass themselves, they should keep him out. And we'll talk about that a bit later. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, you waited all week for it. He was sick, but now he's sick about that Patriots win in, where the hell they win? Tennessee. Ted Johnson's TED Talk next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Great one, Sean. By the way, obscure reference on that gives me an opportunity to ask Pop Douglas a question that I was not thinking of asking Pop Douglas.
There you go.
Pop Douglas is brought to you this week by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices everyday tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy the most. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. By findmassmoney.gov.
and by Zondark Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Good morning, Pop Douglas.
Good morning.
Best, in your mind, best football film of all time? Because, of course, Remember the Titans came to mind when I heard that song. But what would you say? What would you say is the best ever?
Can I say like somebody's? Like, is it like? Are you saying like film as a movie wise,
yeah,
or
yeah, movie
highlight?
Yeah, no, not tape. Shime's on the Shime's watching a lot of tape. But best movie, best football themed movie of all time, Bob Douglas.
Man, I don't know if y'all have seen it. Gridiron Game.
Yeah, I seen that with the Rock and Exhibit.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, you went with that one.
Yeah.
That one good. That one I love that movie.
I like that you're so locked in though on film. You know, Pop, I wanna start by asking go ahead.
No, you got it. I'm sorry.
I want to start by asking about last week, the one-handed catch. Obviously, Drake knows that he threw what he thought was going to be uncatchable. But watching that happen, what was going through your mind when you have that one hand extend to get that catch in?
Man, I was like, man, I got to get this. You know, it was fourth down. This, you know, got to have it that first down.
Well, Vrabel talked a little bit about that play because it looked like you had like a skinny slant on it because it was very quick and the timing element of it. Was it something that you were expecting him to throw a little bit early because it was fourth down and just like kind of getting on the same page? It was a great catch, but, you know, moving forward, you want to try to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, I'm going to make it easy as possible for him. But, you know, my route is to go across, but, you know, situational like that, it'd be smart, you know, to just turn quick, get the ball, get the first down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, me, I try to get in that end zone. I'm trying to put some points up. But, you know, to help just turn quicker, get the ball.
For sure. That win Sunday, four in a row for you guys. And, of course, guys sit in first place in the division, and there's a lot of hype about Drake, and he's in the MVP conversation out. Now, I know that Steph Diggs said that you're not drinking the Kool-Aid, but how hard is it to avoid the conversations that are going on about the potential down the road for this football team?
I mean, it's for me, I think it's easy to ignore the noise, you know, rather it's good or it's bad, you know, because we got to have that next play mentality. This is the NFL. This is not like college. This is the NFL where no matter the record, man, things can change quick, you know, just of the team wanting something. That doesn't matter. I'm not going to lie. The NFL, it's a trick. It's crazy how everything works.
Pop, one of the things to kind of piggyback off of Greg's question a little bit is, you know, not drink the Kool-Aid, but there has to come a point in time where you look and you go, we got a good football team. We're a good football team, and we're going to play with that confidence, that swagger. Is that something? I know it's like you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, but you got to say, hey, we're pretty good.
No, yeah, facts. You know, I definitely believe in this team, and we definitely got to play with that swagger. I'm loving, you know, the team, you know, celebrating and, you know, having fun out there. I mean, you can see us, you know, we having fun, the sideline, standing up, man. You know, everybody's in tune. And I'm loving what this team, you know, is putting on tape and, you know, they're having fun.
Pop, what would you say is the biggest reason why Drake May has been so successful this year as compared to last?
Man, I think he's getting more confident, you know, going out there playing with more swagger, just going out there and staying poised. You know, first year he was getting the hang of it. You know, now it's like, let me go out there and ball. Let me go out there and hoop and play out there. Let me go out there and just play. And you're seeing it. He's going out there having fun, playing. and he's just letting it all out there, man. He's playing for, you know, the team on the name on the front end and his name on the back, for sure.
What has Josh McDaniels meant to the offense this season?
Man, he brings that, you know, that old school swagger, man. You know, he's been doing this for a while, and you can tell he's been doing it for a while. He sees it all, you know. Once if we, you know, it'd be the little thing. You see something, he sees it. It'd be crazy, but that's helping us, you know, with our details. That means a lot when you know playing in the league. Details matter, and Josh, he harps on it, and I mean, I feel like that's what makes us better as a player and a person, just as a life too.
Seemed for a moment, just a brief moment, post game on Sunday, when Coach got bumped, that he got a little bit angry. Were you scared? Were you scared at any point that Vrabel was going to erupt during that ball that ball presentation?
You talking about after the game?
Yes.
No, I wasn't. That was funny though, man. You know, Coach Rave is a character, man. His energy, that was funny. I mean, he was going to swing on somebody, and whatever group he would have swung on, he's going to have to wrestle everybody at that point.
Pop, Vrabel also talked to us about Steph Diggs and his leadership and how he is as a leader in this locker room. Can you just speak on what he's meant to the offense when it comes to not only his play on the field, but especially for the younger guys?
Yeah, man, he brings the energy, you know, on the sideline, says somebody, you know, through the hard times, if something not going right, man, he brings the energy, lift everybody up. He's definitely been a vocal leader that, you know, we need it. A lot of us are example leaders, show you by example type leaders. But, you know, Steph, he's not afraid to, you know, say it with his chest. And, you know, it doesn't matter who he's talking to. He's going to say what he feels. And, he's definitely been showing, you know, us younger guys the way, you know, of how to, you know, go out there, ball, and, you know, keep that energy and, you know, speak vocally, you know, see what you see and, you know, come to the coach and be like, man, I see this and stuff like that. You know, things like that, you know, as younger guys probably didn't want to say just because we're young.
Well, you know, you guys talk about Steph and you talk about Vrabel and you talk about Josh McDaniels, but talk about my boy. I was with him for 3 years in Minnesota, Todd Downing, the wide receiver coach, and what he's been able, what he means to that room. Because I tell you what, he was one of the best guys to be around when I had the opportunity to play for him. Exactly. What has he meant to that room, that wide receiver room, for everything you guys do?
Man, TD is he's great, man. I've grew, you know, with TD. He's been a head coach. He's been a OC. He's been everywhere, man. And it's good to have somebody like that in your room, you know. And I've seen it all. And then, as a receiver, you know, he just left to be a quarterback. He was just a quarterback coach. So he knows. So we're running around, he was like, man, a quarterback can see this. And then we'd be like, ah, dang, we ain't think like that, you know. And I think that helps, man, just his perspective on things. It really helps because, you know, sometimes we don't see it like that. And, like, TD, he off the field, man, he's there for us. You know, I just went to the high school game with TD, and that means a lot, you know, just to, you know, hang with your coach and, you know, not just see him working, you know, not working with him and just knowing, getting to know each other. I feel like, man, he reaches out, you know, and that's what you need as a coach who's there for you on and off the field.
Didn't seem fair that Drake May got the state police escort at the high school game and you guys didn't. I was pissed off about that.
Nah, it's all good. Nobody knew we were coming. We hid in there. Hoodie on. I'm the same height as everybody else, so shoot, they couldn't realize.
We were talking earlier about how awful the traffic is here. I'm just curious, a guy from St. Augustine, Florida, who gets put in this hellhole of a city when it comes to driving around, have you gotten used to driving around the city of Boston and the mass holes that are around you?
Yeah, I really had to change my car at first because the potholes. I can't lie. I had a small car and I had like rims on it. Man, that tire was going flat almost every day. So I don't know about the potholes. And then at first I was making all the wrong turns. The map was messing me up. Yeah, I'm used to it now, but at first, whoo, it was tricky.
So what are you driving now, Pop?
I have a Benz. I have a SUV Benz, though. A coupe Benz that's bigger. Uh-huh. So my tires can fight back the potholes now.
Probably got the GLC coupe. No low profile Pirellis on that thing.
Yeah, no low profile no more. Yeah, no low profile anymore. Learn my lesson.
Pop. Yeah, go ahead. Vrabel talked about moving forward and the Browns' defense could be the best that you guys have faced so far this season. How has preparation been for that, and what's the hardest part about this Browns' defense?
Wait, could you say that again, Mike? It went out.
Mike Vrabel said that the Browns' defense that you guys have on deck is the hardest that you guys will face so far this season, statistically, play style-wise. Mm-hmm. How has prep been for that, and what makes them so difficult?
Oh man, they're good, man. You know, like I say, despite their record, man, they're pretty good, man. Watching them on film, they fly around, and this is probably one of the fastest defense that we play so far. And man, I like what they're doing defense. So you know, we got to come with it. You know, like I say, with the record, can't look at that record, man. These guys are ready to play every, you know, they got a family to feed too, so they coming to play every Sunday. So, you know, we got to come with our A game.
All right, well, we're going to let you get to work this morning, and we're actually going forward, if it's okay with you, we're going to call you something different on this show every week. Is that all right?
Yeah.
We're gonna call you Pop Tires instead of Pop Douglas.
Oh, is that? No.
What? Instead of potholes and all this? Yes, I'm okay with it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Pop. Thank you. All
right. Appreciate y'all.
See you, man. Thanks.
You know what usually gets people is the rotary.
Yeah.
He seems like an awesome individual.
He really is.
But did you have to dump out of him at one point?
No, I panicked and thought he said the F word. He just said stuck.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Final hour, Patriots Friday. Jones and Keith could be joined at any moment by the milkman, Milton Williams. We still have our Bozo touchdown parlay on the way in the grab bag.
This is the week.
I think so.
Oh, I feel it.
It's fair to say we're due.
It wasn't last week.
No, I felt good about last week. I really genuinely felt good about last. I felt great about all our weeks. I felt good about last week.
You don't normally warm up for the Bozo parlay until around week 8. And here we are.
Well, last year we hit it week 3.
Oh, was it that early?
And then we've never hit it again since. No. But
we're on like a Bruins-like streak.
It's a good point. We started like the Bruins a year ago.
We're the Boston Bruins of the Bozo Parlor.
We never quite got a bet.
Oh, good one.
Us,
because they had the Avalanche on Saturday. Yeah, we're going to hit on Sunday.
I don't like their chances. Yeah, us. Yeah. So stay tuned for that, plus our Survivor picks. But, you know what that means. Time for the keys.
Rich Keefe, what is going to be a couple of keys?
And now,
what are your two keys tonight?
Keefe presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, four of them come correct, and you're like, see, I told you.
Keefe's Keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keefe's Keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keefe's Keys. It's Keefe's Keys.
Okay, it is week 8. We have the Patriots hosting the Browns. Pats are 5-2. Browns are 2-5. Patriots 7.5-point favorites with an over-under of 40.5. Kickoff 1 o'clock at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts on Sunday. The Patriots stink at home, and the Browns are winless on the road, so something has to give. The Browns are great against the run. The Patriots, terrible at running, so something doesn't have to give. According to Google AI Overview, there have been at least 21 players and coaches named Brown in the history of the Cleveland Browns. And by my count, the Patriots have had at least 3. If the Patriots return a fumble for a touchdown this week versus Cleveland, it'll be the first time the team has returned a fumble for a touchdown in back-to-back weeks since 2015.
It's a good squad.
Cleveland fans are lovingly known as the Dog Pound, which is also how my ex-wife lovingly referred to her Friday nights when she went out with friends.
Rude.
Legendary Browns running back Jim Brown wasn't just the ultimate jock. He appeared in over 50 movies and TV shows. You may remember him as Byron Williams in Mars Attacks, Slaughter in Slaughter, Spivey in He Got Game, Montezuma Monroe in Any Given Sunday, and as himself in Draft Day. These aren't your daddy's Cleveland Browns. For real, they're actually the Baltimore Ravens. I see the wheels in Jones's head turning right now trying to figure out what the H I mean, but let me stop him before he short circuits. The original team relocated to Baltimore in 1996. But the Browns' name, colors, and franchise history remained in Cleveland and were used to establish a new expansion team that began playing in 1999. Back in 1995, Bill Belichick was the last head coach of that original Browns team. Just 6 years later, he won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and his girlfriend was born. Adobe Photoshop is a powerful software for editing and manipulating digital images, used by photographers, graphic designers, and artists to perform tasks like retouching, compositing, color correction, and graphic design. The Patriots team are second in the NFL against the run, allowing 77.1 rushing yards per game. The Patriots' record for fewest rushing yards allowed since the NFL merger is 88.6, which they did in 2016.
Another good squad.
To quote Drew Carey, all this energy calling me back where it comes from. It's such a crude attitude. It's back where it belongs. All the little chicks with the crimson lips go, Cleveland rocks, Ohio. Safety Brendan Schooler reached double-digit special teams tackles for the third time in his career,
after finishing with two special teams tackles last week at Tennessee to give him a team-leading 10 special teams tackles. Schooler had 4 special teams tackles as a rookie in 2022 and 13 in 2023. If he registers 2 special teams tackles this week against Cleveland, he will match Corwin Brown and Larry Izzo for the most special teams tackles through the first 8 weeks of the season in franchise history with 12 special teams tackles.
Corwin Brown, good Brown.
Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl is a euphemism for a bowel movement. However, you're going to want to do that way more often than the 0 times Cleveland has ever played in the Super Bowl. Not only is Cleveland the birthplace of Burgess Meredith, many inventions have come from the mistake on the lake. Inventions include the gas mask, modern traffic light, Lifesavers candy, and the first electric streetcar. Other innovations include the modern golf ball, the first self-contained breathing apparatus for firefighters, and the first full-body x-ray. The city also claims the first electrified public square, the first rock and roll concert, and the first commercial sale of an automobile.
Wow.
Nicknamed Bigfoot, Myles Garrett is known for his massive sack numbers. The Patriots should keep an eye out for that guy. Stephon Diggs enters this week with 896 career receptions and needs 4 receptions this week against Cleveland to become the 29th player in NFL history with 900 career receptions. Diggs is 5th among all active players in receptions behind just Travis Kelce, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, and Devontae Adams.
Woo!
If you're looking for player nicknames, the Cleveland Browns boast a roster of some of the league's greatest in its checkered history. Miles Superman Garrett, Johnny Football Manziel, but I bet Jones doesn't remember the nickname of 4-time Pro Bowl edge Jim Houston.
Definitely not.
Mr. Dependable.
Oh, good.
Speaking of great nicknames, the Milkman.
Oh, is Milton the Milkman joining us
oh,
right
the Patriots Friday,
Keys?
Jones.
Wow, how
we'll
about that?
We'll wrap up Keys on the other side of the Milkman.
Milton Williams, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. You can look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy most. Milkman, Milton Williams, thanks for joining us here on Jones and Keefe.
Appreciate
Well, thank you very much. We were right in the middle of the keys to the game. So
yeah.
I don't know if you had any keys this week.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
To matching up against the Browns.
Stopping the run. You know, they got a lot of veterans on their front. They got a good young back. They're playing pretty good. So that's our main focus for this week. You know, stopping the run and get off the field on third down. We've got opportunity.
You know, what have you seen? It's been a few starts now for Dylan Gabriel, a third-round pick, rookie quarterback back there for the Browns. What have you noticed about him, watching him on tape?
Man, he's a rookie, so he obviously still kind of learning, you know, trying to get the ball out of his hands on time and going through his progressions. Now I think we can take advantage of just him being a young player. And, I'll put it on D-line for us to try to affect him and get him rattled a little bit. And like I said, getting off the field on third down, try to create some turnovers and get the ball back for our offense.
We had a lefty quarterback battle last week, Dylan Gabriel and Tua. There's another one this week. It's Tua and Penix. How about that?
They face all the lefty quarterbacks.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Anything different? I know you faced one earlier this year as Keith illustrated, and I guess another one next week. Anything different against a lefty?
You know, most right-handed quarterbacks like to escape tied to their right side because they're just comfortable going that way. So basically it's flipped. You know, he wanted to escape to his left, roll out to his left, and get everybody going that way and try to find a receiver that way. So just being good in our rush lanes, knowing where he going to want to escape and just being ready for it.
Is there anything you can point to as to why you guys have had some slow starts this year? I know Coach Vrabel was talking about it during the week, but, you know, Cam Ward is able to get a couple of scoring drives early and then nothing else. You know, go all the way back to the Carolina game, Bryce Young and Carolina move down the field, and then after that, you guys pretty much shut them out. But early on in games, teams have had good first drives. Anything you can point to on that?
I feel like repeating myself saying this is just like the script, like the first 10, 15 plays that the offense been working all week, or if they see us not cover something right versus another opponent, you know, we're going to see it until we correct it. So we've just been seeing a lot of repeat plays.
I think they do a good job of trying to keep the D-line from affecting the plays with boot actions, you know, match protecting or, you know, screen plays or getting the ball out, you know, throwing checkdowns and things like that, you know. Then once they get out of their first 15 plays, then they go back to what they usually or what we've been scouting them to do all week. And then, you know, everybody settle in and then we play.
Talking to Milton Williams, he joins us every other Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. I think Drake May singled out Myles Garrett as, the best defensive player in the league, one of the best players in the league. If, for your money, who do you think is the best defensive player in the league?
Myles Garrett, for sure.
Why?
For sure. I mean, he just, you got to know where he is at all times. And just the attention that he gives respect from other teams, it's got a lot of opportunities for other guys on the D-line too. Like, it ain't just him on the D-line. But if you got two and three guys, you know, watching him, the rest of these guys getting one-on-ones, and no, they got a pretty good D-line for some pretty good pass rushers. So, man, he a game wrecker. If you ain't looking for him, he gonna mess up whatever you're trying to do.
What about the offensive line for the Browns? Even in the last few years, they haven't always had the best offense, but it seems like they've had pretty good O-lines. I think Joel Bitonio has been all pro a bunch of times. He's a Pro Bowler every single year. He's been all pro a bunch. So what stands out about those guys?
They're a big front, just like Buffalo. They got some big guys up front, veteran, smart guys. Bitonio, of course, like you said, been all pro, Pro Bowl, been a good guard for a long time. Teller, too. Wyatt Teller, too. Another big guy. Can cover you up, but he's been a all-pro and a Pro Bowl player for a while, too. So, it's a challenge for us. You know, we're going to have to be on our P's and Q's and, you know, do what we do week in and week out. Like I said, stop the run, get hands on people, and then when you get your opportunities to go rush, win one-on-ones, and shoot, whatever we can do to affect the game, that's what we need to do.
I don't know if you followed the saga of Shedeur Sanders at all this year, but he held a Q&A at one point where he kind of mimed his answers. He didn't actually speak, but he kind of mouthed his answers. You have any tricks for avoiding the media, media members like ourselves, Milton?
Nah, y'all doing y'all job. Y'all gonna ask the tough questions and try to catch me slipping on something. But you know, I'm gonna give y'all. I'm trying to answer the question. Y'all ain't going to catch me slipping, though.
I know that. No, you've been great. We've enjoyed our conversations. We won't talk to you for another 2 weeks. So let me give you a few last questions that I have for you. What is your favorite Halloween candy of all time?
Halloween candy? I'm going to say Reese's.
Nice. Great choice.
The cups.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite Halloween costume that you wore as a kid?
I ain't really celebrated Halloween a long time, but when I did celebrate, of course I dressed up as a football player when I was like five.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Always good.
Anyone specific?
Nah, I was younger, and I think my mom didn't know any other team but the Cowboys, so I had a Cowboy uniform on.
Gotcha.
Very good.
I think that picture's still on my Instagram, matter of fact.
Oh, how about that?
We'll check that out. And then, are you a horror movie fan? And if so, do you have a favorite?
Absolutely not a horror movie fan.
Okay, all right.
I will watch it when it's daytime.
No, I got you. I feel you because Keith likes the horror movies.
I do. But I get
with
it.
You, Milton. Yeah, I if I'm watching them, lights need to be on. It needs to be daylight outside. I'm with you on that.
It needs to be daytime, or if I go to the movies, it got to be like five people with me, and then we're gonna be in there.
All right. Well, good stuff.
Hey, watching horror movies at night. Nah. Y'all got that one.
Too spooky. I agree. Well, you enjoy Halloween. Good luck this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Milton Williams, every Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. He gave us his key to the game, stopping the Cleveland run defense. Did you have any more keys over there?
Yeah, it's kind of anticlimactic. We don't need to cue the music, Nick. I'll just say that.
Why not? Yeah. Let's.
All right, fine. Yeah. All right, fine. You bullied me into it. According to Google AI overview, there is no evidence that former NFL player and current Jacksonville Jaguars executive Tony Boselli hates the Cleveland Browns,
but
Bruce Smith hates Boselli and doesn't believe he should be a Hall of Famer. The Browns' starting quarterback, leading rusher, and leading receiver are all rookies.
Oh, that's the key, yep.
And, finally, there are no Derricks in the game. Even Steven when it comes to Derricks. So if you're looking for Derrick football, you're going to have to go somewhere else. If you add it all up, Jones, I'm going to take Patriots laying the 7.5 as well as the under 40.5.
That's the right way to bet it.
Yeah.
I think you do that.
I agree.
Patriots should win. The hook scares me a little.
Seven and a half, maybe.
Give that some time. Let that number move a little bit.
Yeah.
But I heard there's no Derricks
in the game at all.
Yeah, so that's been good for the Patriots the last few weeks.
You won't be able to find any Derricks.
So if that number doesn't come down, I think 7.5 is fine. And the under, it's low. But I think it could be ugly this weekend. So I'd agree with you on that.
Pretty good.
So there you go. That's the keys. Plus the milkman, if you missed any of it. Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn app. Stay tuned. Patriots Friday here on WEEI. Who are they talking? Is it McDaniels this week? Who are they talking to? Which coordinator do they get?
Yeah, it might be McDaniels.
I think they're due for McDaniels, if I'm not mistaken.
So.
But we'll find out with WEEI after. Yeah, I got 50. Yeah, I got 10. So stay tuned for it. We'll get you the clip du jour.
Is Colin Cowherd giving his power rankings with your New England Patriots in the top 10. A lot of people have them knocking on the door. I saw Tom Brady, I think, has them at 9. They're finding their way into that. Or 8. 8.
Above his Raiders, huh?
Ooh. Well, they got to be.
Barely 10.
Yeah. Your Patriots are getting some national attention. And Mike Vrabel was asked a couple weeks ago, does your record and where you are, first place in the division, number 2 seed in the AFC, does your standing affect the trade deadline? He kind of poo-pooed the idea, but I think a lot of people are now sniffing around like, you're a pretty good team. You should want to add depth or fill holes. So that brings us to Chad Graff in The Athletic, who writes, so far, in what might come as a surprise, the Patriots have made more calls about defensive players than offensive ones, according to a league source. They've been pleased, Fitzy, with their wide receivers and have given them, and while they might eventually need more depth at running back behind Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson, they're pleased with those two. As the deadline nears, look for the Patriots to consider adding more help on defense, specifically looking for outside linebackers who can provide depth as pass rushers on the edge. So, Fitzy, I agree that depth on the edge is an issue. We've talked about it. When Harold Landry went down a couple weeks ago, it was like, yeah, if he's gone, you got a problem. But are you surprised that they are? Because I think a lot of us, Ted, I know you've brought up Breece Hall. I famously brought up Derrick Henry. There's a lot of running backs supposedly could be available. Fitzy, are you a little surprised that they're not looking to add depth to the backfield?
Yes. I would say my prioritization of depth additions for the Patriots would be I would go running back, then I'd go cornerback, then I'd go either defensive end or linebacker because if Ramondre goes down, all of a sudden, Travion Henderson's just going to suddenly figure out, like, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. Like, the guy is still thinking too much and not reacting and playing with his God-given ability. And we all saw what this defense looks like when Christian Gonzalez goes down. Not to say you're going to go find a spare Gonzo out there someplace, Andy, but you need cornerback depth, especially with the way we've talked so much about how physically Marcus Jones, who's becoming more invaluable by the week, plays.
Yeah, he doesn't do the Charlie McAvoy. He is not monitoring his reps, Marcus Jones. He's a guy that plays physical. He doesn't avoid a hit.
I love it.
I love it,
he's
too.
He's so physical for the size. He will hit you. It don't matter how big you are, and he's not a big guy. And I got a lot of respect for that kid.
I do, too. I just don't love that I don't really feel like I'm have a lot of faith in whoever his backup is. Like, they have three corners. And then the next ones, you start to wonder, are they ready
to
see
the field? We remember those first two games with Alex Austin getting penalties.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's not great. So here are Chad Graff's targets. And I'll read the whole list, and then maybe we can chime in on guys we like or don't like. And yes, Ted Johnson, Breece Hall, is on the list. But Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson is one of, obviously, the top targets in all of football if the Bengals move on from him. He's a guy that led the NFL in sacks.
34 sacks last 2 years.
That's ridiculous. Obvious why you'd want him. Dolphins defensive end Jalen Phillips. Titans defensive end Draymond Jones, Titans defensive end Arden Key. I notice a trend here. A lot of defensive ends that they are targeting. Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown. Everybody loves that idea, Fitzy. I know you do. Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers.
Yes.
I know you love that idea. Titans cornerback Jalen Armar Davis. And notice there's a bunch of Titans on this list. I wonder where that idea comes from. Could be, oh, I don't know, Mike Vrabel. Jets running back Breece Hall and Browns running back Jerome Ford, who they will see on Sunday. So, Fitzy, if that were the list, do you think, first of all, do you think it's a realistic list? Or is this, I don't want to accuse Chad Graff of doing anything, but I've also done blogs in my day, and sometimes when you include a name like Trey Hendrickson or A.J. Brown, it gets read more than if you just include names no one's ever heard of. Do you think there's any chance the Patriots are on the higher end of this list?
No, I think they're going to be. I think the high end of it, and this is the guy that I've wanted for a long time. I've been a fan ever since they drafted him. I love Jalen Phillips out of Miami, and I think Miami could potentially part ways with him. You'd only have to give up a mid-round pick. I know he's coming off the ACL, but you'd have a first crack at maybe keeping him around for a while. I think he'd be a great fit. Long, lean, mean, perfect guy to add to this rotation if you're going to add to the front part of the line.
That would be right up the Patriots' alley. They want a distressed asset they can get on the cheap, value, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Trey Hendrickson never is coming here. He's too expensive. No way. Yeah. His age, please. It's not going to happen. But I do – they have been – they have been kind of living on the edge. Knock on wood, they've kind of avoided major injuries.
100%.
Like, and we always say, like, this is a good, this is a solid team on defense if they don't get injured.
Right.
But, I mean, how long can they go without, you know, getting some injuries here and there that are going to impact this defense? And this defense, I think we all feel, is good, but I mean, they've been playing some cupcakes. I don't think they're elite, even though they had 5 sacks. Please look at the team they just got it in. It's so I don't know if this defense is good enough to match what the offense has been doing. So I would be all for getting defense help if you can. So a guy like a Jalen Phillips, I go, okay, yeah, you know, he's got a little history with injuries. He'll come cheaper. That I could see them doing that. But I'm also not opposed to them getting a Jacoby Myers or Breece Hall either. Well, you know what? They got a pretty cool offense. Why not soup up? It's like, we got a nice car. Let's give it, you know, a little wing, you know, give it a little, some eyebrows, give it some eyelashes. Let's make it look a little fancier. You could almost boost the offense too. So I hope they do something because I think they're the buy-in from the fan base. There's a fervor for this team. And I think even though most teams never make deals, I think the Patriots it'd be advantageous if they did because I think it would be a signal to the fan base that they're all in this year.
So, Fitzy, offense, I like the idea of adding to it because I don't think what they're doing is sustainable. But my one question is, and I've overused this word a lot over the last 6 or 8 months of sports talk radio, but the vibes on the offense seem really good in the wide receiver room, the whole thing. The linemen love the backs, and the backs love the linemen, and all the receivers love each other, and none are bitching like they were just a year ago. Mm-hmm. Do you risk the chance? Certainly with A.J. Brown, you risk the chance.
A.J. Brown would risk it, yeah.
And even Jacoby Myers, he's a guy that's used to catching 85 balls a year, 90 balls a year. Like that's
no fun place. I think he would. But go ahead, Fitzy. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you, Ted, that Jacoby Myers would. I think he'd be so happy to find himself back in a place where he didn't want to leave in the first place. And then also in a winning situation that he would fall in line. I don't see any offense in the NFL, let alone this one that he's so familiar with, that he wouldn't suddenly fit into. If you want to add something truly dynamic, Breece Hall, obviously, absolute home run. I still like Kamara. I don't know if he's going to be made available. He's not been in the rumor mill or the swirl of trade populations recently. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, Andy. You do not want to upset the delicate balance of this offense. But if you also want to make sure that you get deep in the playoffs or, God forbid, sell more merchandise and make a legit Super Bowl run, you could use a home run hitter.
617-779-7937. What do you think of the potential trade targets for the New England Patriots? Would you be hunting for a big fish, big game, or are you looking to just add a little depth on defense? Let's squeeze in a phone call here. Let's go to Paulie in Dedham. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, what's happening? Teddy, hope you're feeling better, brother.
A little bit. Thanks, bud. I'm glad to be back at work.
All right, man. You know, my soulmate, Garissa Souls from Melrose, it's a great town.
Great town, bud.
A lot of class people there, man. I tell you, it's a great, it's my favorite town in Massachusetts. I'll say that. But anyway, yeah, I like Travion Henderson. I've been talking about him all summer. I go get him if you can, but I thought the price would be coming down. I thought Cincinnati was going to be in the middle of a collapse. They seem just with Burrow's going up, but they've stabilized. And the price is going back up. So I'm kind of shifting and going to, I'm more looking at linebacker now and safety. You know, outside linebacker, if you can kill two birds with one stone and get a guy that can play linebacker cover, you know, and rush the passer, but that'd be a home run. And I really think they need a safety, you know, a real field general out there in center field to solidify that secondary. And on offense, we need an offensive. We need a left guard badly.
Thanks for the call, Pauly. We have a young left guard. He didn't play last week, so I understand why you'd be looking for some depth at left guard. When he said offensive line, I thought he was going to say you need a backup tackle because you're getting by with mm-hmm. Moses and Will Campbell. Mm-hmm. Yep, a swing tackle. Lord only knows what happens there. 617-779-7937. Who would you target on the trade market if you were the Patriots? But up next here, Drake May has a chance to make more history, rewrite the record books yet again, but he does it against the Browns, the best defense in the NFL, the best defense the Patriots will face this year, Mike Vrabel said. A little Drake May versus Cleveland's defense talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.